Dear friends in Christ, this morning, I would like to talk about vocations. As many of you may know, my current station is in Persia, Iowa, with our secular seminarians. And this past year was a very good year. We had as many as, include the religious who are in Olathe, I think there were as many as 23, but I think we finished the year with 17 or 18. I think that was because we had three that were ordained in this past December, and then a few discerned out. But this coming year, we have six more secular seminarians coming, so God is blessing us with vocations. And as you know, as the saying goes, you don't hatch your chickens until they hatch. But nonetheless, God is sending us vocations of which we are truly grateful for. But I want to take this opportunity to speak about vocations because this is something that there's always going to be a need for in the church, especially in today's day and age. I think of our Lord's words where he says, "The harvest indeed is great, and the laborers are few." We can see this especially today in the traditional movement. In normal times, I don't think it would be necessary for priests to do the extensive traveling that some of our priests do today. I think of Father Selmer, he comes up here on the weekends, but Father Zepeda, in Arkansas, he travels 6 or 7 hours every weekend and has three different missions. Father Molina, I think of myself, I go to South Dakota twice a month, and then I have two missions in central Nebraska. Just an 8-hour round trip, which is a walk in the park from my last mission, which was four missions in 21 hours of driving every weekend, which was quite exhausting. But, you know, there's souls out there, some missions that only get mass once a month. So we try to go the extra mile. This is where we need, you know, vocations to help fill in because people are constantly emailing me, especially in Texas, where, it's funny because the mass site was actually listed as Canyon City, which is near the southern part near San Antonio or Houston. But the actual mission was in Canyon, Texas, which is near Amarillo at the very top, so about 8 hours apart. But I kept getting these emails or calls from people near Houston wanting the mass and tell them how. Eventually, I got it corrected. I told the sister who takes care of the directory to change that because it doesn't list the address. It just gives your Canyon City because it's once a month. But nonetheless, there are souls out there that would like the Mass and sacraments, and unfortunately, we can't be everywhere. I think of, there's some parishioners up in Alaska that we try to get to as often as we can, but sometimes it's only once or twice a year. We do the best we can with what we've got. But just a reminder that we certainly need vocations, as we believe the harvest is very great, the laborers are very few. So in speaking of this topic this morning, we should be aware of some very basic information regarding vocations. And I'd like to explain it by asking or answering probably the three most common questions regarding vocations. And the first is, what is a vocation? Secondly, how do we know if we have a vocation? And then lastly, how should we proceed if we feel that we might be called to the religious life or the priesthood? What is a vocation? The word vocation comes from the Latin word vocare, meaning to call. And so it is a calling from Almighty God, an invitation to a life of sacrifice. to dedicate one's life more completely in the service of Christ. Now, just because we have a vocation does not mean that we are necessarily going to accept that calling. Just like when you get an invitation in the mail to a birthday party or to a wedding, just because you get that invitation doesn't mean you have to go. You have that choice. And so ultimately, we all have this free will to choose. But unfortunately, a greater amount of vocations are rejected because of man's attachment to his own self-will. It is said that 1 in 3 people have this germ, they call it, of a vocation, that seed, that invitation. But as we know, when we look around in the world today, we know that very much fewer than that 1/3 actually accept that invitation. Now, when we knowingly reject that invitation, that calling from God, because of our attachment to our self-will, maybe just not trying to live that life of self-sacrifice, it is still possible that we save our soul, but we run the risk of losing our soul because of that attachment to our self-will. We hear that voice of God calling us to a higher life, but we turn a deaf ear to Him and we pretend we never heard it. Pretend that vocation is not there. And this is what it means to follow our own self-will. We decline that invitation. Now the world, as we know, entices all of us for its pleasures, luxuries, money, a life of ease. We're all attached to that. But we have to learn detachment from the things of this world and be willing to make that sacrifice. What does our Lord say? He says, what does it profit a man if he gained the whole world and suffered the loss of his soul? This reminds us of the shortness of life, that we should not be, run the risk of losing our soul because of that attachment to these worldly pleasures. So getting back to our first question, what is the vocation? Quite simply, it's that calling from Almighty God. Work in the service, that invitation. And it is our choice whether to accept that calling, that invitation, cooperate with God's grace, or refuse to do so and follow our own self-will. Now the next question, which is frequently asked and perhaps troubles people more than anything, is how do I know if I have a vocation? Before answering this question, I have a funny little story to share. There was a young boy, about 6 years old, and he went to the doctor's office for an appointment. And the doctor asked him what he wanted to be when he grew up. And this young boy looked at the doctor and he said, you wouldn't believe me. Or he said, you wouldn't understand. The doctor said, go ahead, try me. So this young boy said, well, I want to be a religious. And the doctor asked this young boy, well, what makes you want to become religious? And then he got all excited about the things, telling him the things that he got to do as religious as a young boy, for which reason he wanted to become one. He said, they get to play basketball, they go searching for golf balls and streams. They do singing and all sorts of fun things. Now, although this young boy was very enthusiastic about wanting to become a religious, he was obviously quite a bit young to decide, and his intentions for joining would be highly questionable. So back to the question, how do I know if I have a vocation? Before giving the guidelines, I'd just like to mention that we shouldn't expect some slap in the face or some vision from Almighty God or from one of the saints telling us that you have a vocation. No. First and foremost, Our motives for joining, we ask ourselves, should I join? And ask ourselves, what are my intentions? We must have a supernatural motive. Not just joining because you want to, maybe you want to be a good singer in the choir, or because you like to play basketball, which, you know, religious, I do on occasion for recreation. No, it must be something above nature to save our soul, to save the souls of others. Even if our intention for joining is to bring about the conversion of a particular family member, maybe many of our family has fallen away, and to draw down graces on our family, that alone is a sufficient motive. Although it's not perfect, it is a supernatural motive, and therefore a sufficient motive for joining. Now, aside from the proper motive, obviously there needs to be certain qualities in order that we may be capable of living the lifestyle and fulfilling the various duties required of the religious stage or the priesthood. And these can be narrowed down to three categories. And in order that we remember them easily, classify them by the three H's: a good heart, good head, and good health. And by a good heart, we mean that we should be generous in our time with others and wanting to do God's will. Have that spirit of self-sacrifice, that spirit of obedience, and a good heart. A good head, meaning that we need to at least be able to understand the basic principles of our religion in such a way that we can help explain it to others. Now, obviously, it's not necessary that we be some sort of Einstein or St. Thomas Aquinas for the religious. Be a St. Teresa of Avila by any means. Otherwise, I think our numbers would be even much more fewer. Myself would not have been called to the religious life or the priesthood if it demanded such knowledge. Christ chose as his successor a simple fisherman to show that this was the work of God and not men. But nonetheless, we must have at least certain ability to comprehend things in such a way that we can help explain it to others. But most importantly, that we have a spiritual life, good spiritual life, and holiness. But a good rule of thumb, if you're concerned about your knowledge perhaps being a hindrance to your vocation, is that if you're in the top third of your class, as a general rule, you most probably have the necessary learning abilities required. Obviously, this doesn't exclude or automatically exclude those outside this category. Because once again, this is just a general guide. If you're in the top third of your class, you usually have the sufficient knowledge for religious life. Now, the third age is good health. And that is that we must not have any health conditions which are going to be a hindrance to the performance of the priestly duties or the duties of the religious life. We don't want to be a burden to the community. We're already suffering from many illnesses, and we're not even able to fulfill that life in common. And we're only there, you know, basically relying on help. And for priests, you know, there's certain requirements. If they're missing certain fingers, one of our parishioners was messing with fireworks and blew off some of his fingers, that would be an impediment to the priesthood, because you have to be able to offer Mass. Now, for the religious life, it's the same thing. There's certain duties that you're to be expected to perform. But at least have a general good health, but we need to be able to perform those duties of the religious life or the priesthood. So back to the second question, which is how do we know if we have a vocation? And the short and simple answer is that we shouldn't expect some miraculous sign from heaven. But number one, our intention must be supernatural, our motives for joining. And secondly, we must be capable of fulfilling the duties required. required. Your heart, your health, your health. The last question, how should we proceed with the other word or being called to the religious life or priesthood? And first and foremost, if we feel that we have a calling, we should speak to a priest. There is no surer sign of wanting to do God's will than seeking the advice of a priest and be willing to follow that advice that is given. For myself, this was the that's what put me here today. I was advised to stick it out for that first year, because that first year is obviously full of temptations to leave, etc. And sure enough, as time went on, we followed the advice of our superior, we'll be led in the right direction. Easy? No, it's a life of sacrifice. But we feel that God is calling us and God speaks to our superiors. Oftentimes we ourselves are mistaken, I don't have a vocation, etc. But God speaks to our superiors, and we should be generous in giving ourselves to Him and following His holy will. Now, if we're younger, we feel that maybe we're being called, we want to foster that vocation, we perhaps consider joining the minor seminary, which we have in Idaho, where young high school boys can study, they can fulfill their normal high school curriculum, while at the same time living a life in common with others who are like-minded, following a schedule somewhat similar to that of a major seminary, used as a preparation to foster that vocation. But most importantly, if we feel that we have a vocation, let us not turn a deaf ear to that, to ignore it. We want to foster that vocation by prayer and penance and seeking the advice of a priest. So my dear friends in Christ, when we look around the world today, we see the very sad condition that it is in and the great need we have for priests. Let us consider the message of today's sermon. And let us pray that we may not only know God's will in our holy life, or in our life, given the grace to cooperate with God's will, accept God's will in all things. The harvest indeed is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he send forth laborers into his harvest. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.